and start the meeting, open meeting, and all members of the community are welcome to join. The single most important aspect of AA recovery, however, is the principle of one alcoholic relating to another alcoholic. Therefore, only alcoholics will participate in our meetings. As a courtesy, we ask that you please keep muted and keep the video distractions to a minimum as to not interrupt the meeting. Thank you. There may be some here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on the internet or any other media technologies. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help other problem drinkers, and our tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles become before personalities. Good evening, my name is Duffy, and I am an alcoholic. Welcome to the Pacific Group meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from alcoholism. Has been asked to read. I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Stephanie M.
Hi everyone, Stephanie M, alcoholic. And I just wanna thank Duffy for asking me to share. This is a huge honor. I feel very blessed to be asked to participate in Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date is April 25th, 2000. My sponsor is Allison P. And yes, I am nearly 20 years sober. I grew up in Minnesota and started drinking when I was a teenager. And from the moment I started drinking, I feel like there was never a line. I just crossed into oblivion right away. I didn't even ever attempt to socially drink. I just remember every weekend just being drunk, and I couldn't wait for the next weekend just to be drunk all weekend. And went away to college. I was a functioning alcoholic for a long time. I got great grades. I had a job. On paper, I looked like the perfect daughter. Meanwhile, I was drinking every chance I could get. And when I went off to college, my alcoholism really progressed. I was so drunk all the time, 24/7, that I didn't even know what class I was taking. I remember one time, oh, wait, I'm supposed to time myself. So hold on one second, sorry. So I'll just give myself. Okay, so I remember one time I had finals and I was so hungover from the night before. I took the finals and then started throwing up and tried to crawl home in the snow. So I thought the problem was Minnesota. I thought the problem was the snow. So I moved out to California and I kind of got myself together. That was kind of my alcoholic story, was I kind of get myself together and get some semblance of a normal life and seemed like I was doing good. And then, you know, I would crash down again. And so I kind of did the yo-yo thing for a few years out here. And then I don't know what happened. This is my story, so it changed. But one morning, I was afraid to drink the tap water in LA, and I decided to have a beer, a Corona beer. And I didn't know this word until I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, but I suffer from the phenomenon of craving. And when I have a drink, I have to have another drink. So I thought I could have one drink and go to work. And darn it, I had another drink. I was walking down the liquor store. I was getting more booze. I was walking home. I was drinking it. I was walking back. I mean, every liquor store I ever lived near knew me really well. And I was so full of shame and incomprehensible demoralization. I didn't show up to work that day. I was drinking the next day. And I just, before I got to AA the month before, I had just been drinking all day, every day. And I got sober in the Pacific Group, and I love this group. I spent the first 19 years of my sobriety in this group. You guys gave me a brand new life. I was in horrible credit card debt because I had been, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul on credit cards for years to drink like I wanted to drink and be a part of. I always felt less than, so I felt like I had to overspend just to be your friend. And who knew that if I just was myself, I could have more friends than I could ever hope for, and the bestest friends. So, but I didn't know that. So I thought, I couldn't tell you that I couldn't afford a sushi dinner. So I just put it on the credit card and go with you. And so I came into the program. I had all this debt and I started working. I hadn't been working. Hey, don't come in. Seriously, don't come in. Sorry, that's my daughter. Sorry. I asked her not to come in and she's not, she didn't know better. So wait, this is 1,000 people looking at me. Please do not come in. Tom? Nobody's interrupting. Okay. I'm so sorry. So my husband's supposed to be watching the kids. So if his sponsor's on, this is the supervision I'm getting. Okay. So anyhow, I, this is my life right now. So, so a few minutes left. So I started working and I immediately wanted to fix my shattered life. I wanted to work really hard. I wanted to come in early and stay late. And I did not want to do the watches because I couldn't work as much if I went to the watches. And I don't know why, but I feel like God just gave me a little bit of willingness and a little bit of grace. And my sponsor, my first sponsor, Robin, who was awesome, she said, put AA first and everything else will fall into place. And I listened to her and I did that. And I didn't overwork and I didn't get another job. And I did everything that anybody does in the Pacific group. I had 7 meetings. I had 7 commitments. I went to all the watches. I went to the yard every Saturday. And I had a blast. And you guys were amazing. And many of you who helped me when I was new are still here at this meeting tonight and are still my heroes and are still helping me walk through life. So I'm so thankful. And so I can hear my daughter laughing in the background. She's now playing chase away from daddy. But I got sober and just, built a sober life. And I'm so grateful. I worked with so many people who were sober too. And they did what my idea was. They worked extra pretty soon. They weren't going to the watches. They weren't doing the yard. They were too tired. They weren't going to all the meetings and they all ended up drinking and I stayed sober. And it's really because I put 2 feet into the program and I started reading the book every night. And it says in our book, half measures avail us nothing. And I always think about that, half measures in Alcoholics Anonymous equals nothing, equals we don't make it. We have got to put 2 feet in. And even though I might have almost 20 years of sobriety, I'm still here a day at a time. I still have to work my program. I still have to take actions to stay sober. And what it's like today, I think if you see my Facebook post, you think my life is perfect. I have no troubles. And, I still have alcoholism and I still have to work my program. And when I was new, I was told to call my sponsor every day. And, I tell my sponsees that for me, calling every day is like a fire drill. If you get in the habit of calling your sponsor every day, years down the road, when you have time, maybe you don't call them every day, something bad happens and you will instinctively call them, just like a fire drill. You will know exactly what to do. And my life, the coronavirus, my kids have been out of school for over a month. I know you're hearing all these great stories and wonderful teachers and Zoom meetings with the students and kids happily doing work. Well, that's not what we're doing. It's a hot mess over here. We just started school after having a month off. The teachers were in training for 2 weeks. Then we had 2 weeks of spring break. And it's a total mess. And I was really angry about it. And, you know, but it says in our book that, you know, that that's the dubious luxury of the common man. And I know from being sober a long time, I have to pray when I'm resentful. And I started praying for the teachers at my school. I started praying for the teachers at my school. I started asking God how I can be of service. I started just having those days when I'm having a hard time, I just naturally run to the phone and call my sponsor because I've been practicing all these years. So when things kind of blow up and life is kind of crazy, I have all these tools. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. That was great. Thank you. Our next speaker is Corky G.
Hi, everybody. Corky Grinks, an alcoholic.
Hi, Corky.
At least I heard Duffy. Duffy, thank you so much for asking me to do this. I love the Pacific Group. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new, I hope you find here what I found here. Alcoholics Anonymous and the Pacific Group has given me a brand new life. I've been sober since May 17th, 1986, and I owe that to my sponsor, Robert Cook, the kindest man I know. And I owe it to the Pacific Group and Clancy. And, you know, I started drinking at a very early age because I wanted to be in. And so I smuggled some vodka into a Boy Scout camping trip, and I drank vodka with my friends. And, you know, what it did is it set up a phenomenon of craving in me. I didn't start drinking daily around the clock from that point forward. But what I did is I always thought about it and when I could drink the next time. And, you know, it did. It made me feel in. It made me feel intoxicated, inebriated, inconsistent, you know, just a whole bunch of ins. And, you know, I didn't drink because I thought it was a good idea or a bad idea or smart or stupid or right or wrong. I drank because I'm a feeler and I have these big, gigantic emotions. And I drank because I felt angry and I wanted to forget about you. And or I drank because I was happy and let's celebrate, you know. I have always had intention motions. I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I'll drive past your house at midnight just to make sure you're okay. I love you so much. And, you know, if you say the wrong thing to me, I will just ignore you forever. And, you know, I take these snapshots and I live my life based upon these snapshots and things that I recorded from movies, you know, and, you know, a real man is like this. And, you know, I just had all these ideas that I could not live up to. And, you know, I always felt like I was either better than you or worse than you, but I never felt equal to anybody. It was like I had a plexiglass shield around me, and I could see and hear you, and you could see and hear me, but somehow it just did not connect. And when I drank and I had a few drinks, I felt connected. And, you know, I pursued that and drank as much as I could until I got here. And, you know, I got here after a three-week binge. And at the beginning of that three-week binge, I was 5 years sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I drank because I quit going to meetings and I quit doing what my sponsor had told me to do. And in my first year, my sponsor told me that, you know, to not get into any relationships my first year. And I had an ex-girlfriend come back into my life. And so that was kind of grandfathered in. And so I started making her my higher power. And I started coming to meetings late and leaving early and not going to coffee. And one day she broke up with me. And the next day she moved in with this guy that I was sponsoring. And, you know, I guess he really wanted what I had. And, you know, it's like my ego was so big that I just could not handle going to meetings anymore because I knew that you were, all, you know, I see people laughing, you know. This is probably going on in this meeting right now while I'm talking to people. Anyways, you know, I quit going to meetings. And one day I walked into a liquor store in Burley, Idaho to get some Mountain Dew, and instead I stopped and I stared. And I stopped and I stared, and it occurred to me that I had gotten sober so young, I never got to try Seagram's Golden Wine Coolers. And, you know, they're just kind of like Kool-Aid anyways, and I just want to see what they're like, and no one will know, and just one's not going to hurt me. And, you know, that one didn't hurt me. I remember looking at that empty bottle and thinking, but it didn't even do anything. And so if you're an alcoholic like me, I went back to that liquor store and I got 2 4-packs of Seagram's Golden Wine Coolers. And being the alcoholic that I am, it did something for me. What it did is it set up this phenomena of craving that is in me and not in other people. And I continued to drink until I didn't drink anymore. And I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I got that same sponsor and I started doing what he told me to do. And he set in me a foundation. He was sponsored by Clancy. And I did the things that he told me to do. And I got involved at conferences when I was, you know, new in sobriety. And he had me start sponsoring people. And he made me call him. And he got me into the big book and the 12 and 12 and the service manual. And I had a full service sponsor that offered to me and gave to me everything that Alcoholics Anonymous had. And the biggest thing that he gave to me, this punk kid, is that he took the big book and he put it into words that a punk kid like me could understand. And, you know, we started working those steps. And, you know, I took all those steps and talked about it and sponsored guys. But what happened is that I was lying about my sobriety. I felt like it was my duty not to tell anybody that I had gotten drunk, because then they might think AA doesn't work. And so I had this big secret. And the thing about lying for me, it's that when I lie, I never believe anybody. And I go to meetings, and my sponsor and my friends and my babies, they would hug me and say, "I love you, Cork." And I'd think, you wouldn't say that if you knew the truth about me. And, you know, so what I did is one night in 1990, it was the day after Valentine's Day, and I got in an argument with my wife, the mother of my son, and I took the vase of flowers I had bought her the night before for being in the doghouse. I was always in the doghouse, primarily because I was living a life of self-will and living like a married man shouldn't live. And I took that vase of flowers and hurled them across the kitchen. This was right after our meeting and coffee, and I hurled them across the kitchen, and she started to run, and I was running through the house screaming, "Don't you walk away from me!" And she got herself in the bathroom, and I forced my way into that bathroom. And I can only tell you that it's only by the grace of God that there was a mirror there, and I had a moment of clarity, I guess, that I looked in that mirror and I saw the monster that I had become. And I left the house and I got in the car, and this was pre-cell phone, but I carried a big book in my car because I had a sponsor who told me to have 2 big books, one at home and one in the car. And he always told me that if I ever had a problem, open up that big book and I would find the solution there. And I opened up that big book and I came to the point where it said, into action, it said, "We only thought we had lost our egoism and fear, and we only thought we had humbled ourselves, but that if I didn't tell someone else all my life story, that I would drink." And, you know, I decided that the humility of being honest was going to be better than the way I was living. And so, you know, I made this big proclamation and started getting honest with people. And you know what? Nobody really cared at all. Instead, they came to me and told me that there was a lot more of me to love. And, you know, we started the North Pacific Group up in Tacoma, Washington, where I got sober, and I loved the Pacific Group and Clancy, and I later changed, and I got Keith Carpenter as my sponsor. And Keith Carpenter made it possible for me that when I was 10 years sober, I moved to the Pacific Group. It was what I wanted to do. And, you know, I Bob Zetz took me into his home and took me to all the meetings. I remember he was taking me to all the meetings. We went to the Tuesday night meeting in the Valley, and I met Paul and Chuck Bernard and Danny, and I thought, wow, PG has mafia in it. That's crazy. And, you know, I have given my life to the Pacific Group, and the commitments and the watches and the moves. I've done it all. And, you know, that's all great. But the single most thing that has changed my life is by taking the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I take those steps, and what it does is it peels away those layers of self that I built up. And the more that I peel away those layers, I automatically become more full of God. And what you guys have given me and what the steps have given me is I have a giant of a God. And my God is so giant. He's bigger than this lockdown. He's bigger than the coronavirus and unemployment and sickness. He's bigger than all of that. And, you know, I am grateful to God that I have the life that I have. You guys gave me that life because all I did is I do what, you know, Robert Cook tells me. And I call Robert and we laugh because we are so lucky. And, you know, we've talked a lot about, I've had a lot of conversations with people about once this is over, I can't wait till life goes back to normal. I can't wait till life is normal again. And, you know, I practice an active 11 step. And so I've been praying for God's will and knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And, you know, I determined that what I need to do is I don't want to go back to the way that it used to be. I don't want it to go back to normal. I hope that when I come out of this, that with the power of God in my life and the power of my home group, that maybe what I can do is be a little more appreciative and be a little more tolerant and a little more caring and a little more understanding and a little more loving. And how can I pray the Lord's Prayer at every meeting and say, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me and hold grudges against anybody or anything? How can I hold grudges about a politician or about my brothers, my siblings, or people I meet in the street or somebody who cuts me off? The one thing for certain is I will never rise above human being, and that's why I will always need the Pacific Group. And I'll need Robert Cook, and I've been sober since May 17th, 1986, and I owe that to you guys. Thanks, Duffy.
Thank you very much, Corky. Thank you very much. Okay. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. AA also has a set. I'd like to introduce our main speaker tonight, Linda P. Yay, Linda.
Hi, my name is Linda, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Linda.
Duffy, I want to thank you for asking me to come. Corky and Stephanie, you guys did a really great job. What I heard from you is the love of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, I want to welcome you. I want to tell you that Alcoholics Anonymous works no matter what, good, bad, happy, sad. If we do the principles and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, we can stay sober no matter what. And the reason why I say that is because I have direct experience of that. I'm really excited to see Duffy. I had an opportunity to meet her and her lovely husband, Jeff, at a PG campout. If you're in the glum lot and you think that sobriety can't be fun, go to the Pacific Group campouts, and you'll find that you'll have a lot of fun. I like to still attend them. I live in Colorado now, but it's, you know, I know a lot of faces here. And I really connected with Duffy that weekend and her husband, and it's super great to see all the familiar faces tonight. I used to live in LA. I went to Pacific Group for 12 years, and there's a lot of faces that I haven't seen for a while. So it's super good to see you guys. You know, I've been taught here in Alcoholics Anonymous that my problem is not just drinking, that my problem is my thinking. And I'll tell you that I'm a little over 21 years sober. And if I'm not in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous, I make some really big mistakes. And if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, I want to caution you from making decisions without input. Because even at 19 years of sobriety, I made a decision that caused a lot. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about that. On February 14th, 2018, I was in court supporting a sponsee who was in a custody battle. I was doing the things that Alcoholics Anonymous taught me to do. I was being of service. I was showing up for others. I had a sponsor. I was active with that sponsor. I was active in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got a phone call while I was sitting in court that day. And it was the police. And the police said, you need to come home right now. And I knew what was going on. I drove and there were a whole slew of cop cars in front of my house. A helicopter was circling my house. And they were calling my son's name out on the intercom from the helicopter. And I thought, you know, my house was 3 weeks from closing escrow. The October before, after a lot of discussion with my sponsor, it was decided that I was going to leave my job, sell my home, and basically disappear from Los Angeles because I couldn't deal with the issues with my son anymore. And I thought that, you know, I didn't get away. This came down on my head 3 weeks before I was leaving. And they extracted my son safely out of home. But I'll tell you that earlier in that courtroom, I met a bank robber. And I thought, oh, yeah, I've arrived. And I thought, you know, bank robbers, my dream come true. I didn't tell my sponsor about him. I didn't tell my friends. I flat out lied to everyone. That's the truth of it. And that bank robber showed up at my house the following day, and I was full of fear. And I decided that this bank robber had shoulders as broad as a Mack truck, and he was going to be my bodyguard. And I started a relationship with him. I didn't ask him any questions. I didn't get to know him. And I certainly didn't tell my sponsor. About a month later, I moved in with that bank robber. And then I left the country. And when I came back, I knew within 2 weeks that I had made a very big mistake. And I went to that bank robber and I very adult-like said to him, I'm really sorry. I made a mistake. This isn't what I wanted to do. You know, let's get you your own apartment and, you know, everything will be fine. And he basically said, no, it's not going to work that way. And I thought, oh gosh, what do I do now? Because I've been lying to my sponsor. She doesn't even know that I live with this person. And after about 3 months, I surrendered. I was like, whatever price I have to pay, I'm going to pay. I picked up the phone. I called my sponsor. I said, you know, I've been lying to you. This guy is living with me, and I don't know what to do. And she gave me some directions. And I took those directions, and 5 days later, a few weeks before that man turned 5 years sober, he took his life. Now, I'm not responsible for his suicide, but I am responsible for the deception that I created in that relationship. I didn't ask that guy if he wanted to be my bodyguard. I'm 19 years sober. I know better. I didn't talk to my sponsor. I didn't talk to my friends. And that's the mess that I put myself in self-will. It's not something I'm proud of. It's something that I will have to live with for the rest of my life. I got to meet that man's daughter and ex-wife. I become friends with them. And I make amends through that, through her. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, As I stated, my problem is not just drinking. My problem is my thinking, obviously. And long before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had trouble with my, you know, actions. I was a thief. I was a con. My first job was loan sharking. I lent money to the teenage boys on our street, and they had to pay me back at 13.5% interest. And I don't really care how they accomplish that. You sign a contract and you're going to pay me. I was incapable of having my feelings. I was incapable of thinking about anyone else, and I didn't know that. I was a very good student in high school. I hadn't started drinking and using yet, but that's how I interact with life. What can I get for me? And one of those boys came to me and said, I'm sorry, I can't pay back the contract. And I went and hired a couple football players. And I told those football players, I don't care what you do, but I want my money. And sure enough, it was sitting on my porch come Monday morning. And that's all that mattered to me. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not think I was an alcoholic. I did not think I had a drinking problem. My life was slightly off kilter, but my problem was not drinking. And the truth is, I started drinking at the age of 15. I am a blackout drinker from the get-go. I don't understand, controlled drinking. I'm not a girl who drinks in a nightclub because I'm going to go to jail and half the people in that nightclub are going to go with me. I'm a messy drunk. I pick up the bottle. I don't use a glass. I drink straight out of the bottle. And I put the bottle down when the bottle is empty. And that's how my drinking started. I came to that after that first drink. They were throwing me into a pickup truck and driving me home because the cops were coming. And I was a minor. And I remember my brother dragging me in from the grass of our house, and I had a two-day hangover. And I don't remember saying at that point that I'm going to do this again, but I do remember that I took a real quick left. I started to party. I started to do drugs. I started to drink a lot. I was always looking for that because I felt really empty inside. I felt very different. I didn't fit in. I was uncomfortable in my skin. This newfound friend seemed to work. Now, I was in a blackout all the time, so I don't know what it was working with, but I had a place to go. A year and a half after that first drink, I'm now a high school dropout. I'm drinking on a daily basis, and I'm putting needles in my arm. I'm 17 and a half years old, and that's my answer to life. And I didn't belong in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have a problem. Everything is fine with my life. If you were brought up in the household that I grew up in, you would drink and use too. I'm homeless. I don't know how to take care of myself, and I go looking for him. Well, we already know how I pick hymns at 19 years of sobriety. So drinking, I don't pick them any better. I find my first hostage because I don't know how to have relationships. I know how to take hostages. And I set up house with this guy, and I'm 17. And we move in with the local drug dealer, and I've arrived. Everything I want in my life is here, or so I think. And violence is a big part of my story. And we got robbed one night. That drug dealer got shot 4 times. And my husband, who's not my husband yet, picks that bullet up in the side of his face. And, the drug dealer is hollering. Obviously, he's got 4 bullet holes in him. And I go back to the bathroom to find out what's going on. And that, my husband comes walking in the bathroom with blood pouring down the side of his face. And I turned to him and I said, don't worry about that bullet. You go on back out there and keep throwing our drug paraphernalia over that back fence. The cops are going to come. I don't want to get arrested for drugs. And I don't really care if either one of those guys bled to death. What I cared about is my father had filed a runaway report on me. And I know the cops are going to come and I'm probably going to be arrested. And I want to minimize my charges here. And, At that time, the cops were a little different. They did come. They said it's one criminal against another. Nobody got arrested, and life went on. I went on to have a child with that man, and then I married him in that order. And I was a terrible wife. I couldn't stay faithful to that man. I couldn't stop drinking. I was just a mess. And eventually he left me, and I went in search of a new hostage, because I'm one of those alcoholics that I'm going to change what I'm drinking. I'm going to change from, I think when I was drinking with my grandfather, I'm drinking Chevitz, and then I go to gin and orange juice, but the orange juice is giving me a heartburn, so I go to gin and tonic, because it's not the gin, I can guarantee that. And I'm just a mess, but everybody in my life drinks the way I do. So I don't think I'm a mess. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I think everyone who drinks alcohol has blackouts. And so I'm just kind of going on in my life. I have my son, and I think that as long as I show love to him, that's all he needs. He certainly doesn't need stability. He doesn't need a clean house. He doesn't need a sober mom. He just needs love. And I don't know what that looks like, but that's what I think that I'm giving to him. And I'm driving down the street from work. I worked a lot, even in my drinking, and I see this gentleman standing on a street corner. And I don't know whether he's a gentleman or not, but he is tall, dark, and handsome. And I think that's a really good combination. I put him in my car, and we proceed to my son's preschool. And as I go to get out of that car, I have a small moment of clarity. I see the keys hanging out of the ignition, and I think to myself, wow, this is a bad idea. Like, you don't even know this guy. And I look at him, and then on the heels of that thought is, what will he think of me? I don't even know this man's name, and I'm already worried about what he will think of me. So I leave the keys hanging in that ignition, and I go into that preschool, and I get that baby, and I come out carrying him, and that poor sucker made the biggest mistake he had made up until that time. He stayed in the car. And you don't want to be taken hostage by me. I will burn your life to the ground. And I ended up drinking with that guy for the next 10 years. And it was a mess, you know. He was a violent little guy. Not little, he was big. He was violent, not with me, but with other people. And so I wouldn't drink tequila with him because he always got really violent with tequila. And then one day he was at my house for the weekend, and then I drove him to an AA meeting on Sunday night because I know he's got a drinking problem. So I tell him, like, you got to work on your drinking, and I go home and I probably got smashed because I don't have a drinking problem. And I go to work the next day and my telephone rings. And it's that guy, and he's at my house, and my four-year-old daughter's asleep on his chest. And I think, wow. Like, I say to him, you're not supposed to be at my house. He says, I know, I needed a safe place to go. So one more time, I'm worried about what he will think of me. And my next conversation with that man was 6 hours later, and he had just murdered two people and seriously maimed another. And now, as a direct result of my drinking career, I find myself involved in a murder trial. And that little boy of mine testifies to the fact that he had that murder weapon in our home that day. And I don't think I have a problem. I certainly don't have a drinking problem. My life might be a little bit off. I got to figure out how to... I don't know. I don't know what I got to figure out. So I just keep going forward in my life. Someone suggested go back to school. I thought that was a great idea, and that's what I did. And I'll tell you, at the end of that semester, I got restless, irritable, and discontent because I am not an alcoholic who can go to school and be present. So I don't drink for that semester. I'm uncomfortable. And, you know, I need a new solution. What I'm doing and using and drinking is not working. I don't know what to do. And I look across the room, and there he sits. And I take that man home, and we set up house, and I marry him, and I've got two kids, and he's got two kids. And I will remind you, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not belong here. I wasn't like you people. Like, I would listen to your stories. You guys are screwed up. If I was as bad as you, I would check myself into Alcoholics Anonymous. But I got this. I am A-okay. And this is what my life looked like when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. That little four-year-old girl is 10, and that little girl is attempting to take her own life. My son is 15 years old and being arrested on a weekly basis. My stepson is 15, beating up on people, stealing cars. My 17-year-old stepdaughter is pregnant with twins. And that husband of mine, he's been barricaded in the bedroom for 2.5 months with the doors and the windows screwed shut and a loaded semi-automatic rifle. And I don't belong in Alcoholics Anonymous. My life is fine, thank you very much. And on February 14th, 1998, about 9 police cars showed up at our home. That man was arrested, and I went off to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't relate. You guys talked about that morning drink. And I would say, I've never had a morning drink. But I would go to the Renaissance Fair, and by 9 a.m., I would be absolutely smashed in a blackout. But that's not morning drinking. I don't know what morning drinking is, but I don't think that's morning drinking. I saw all the differences, but I didn't know what else to do. So I came to Alcoholics Anonymous for 8 months, and I continued to drink. And on September 8th, 1998, I made a decision that I was going to try Alcoholics Anonymous for 30 days. And in 30 days, you're going to teach me how to pick a different man. Because I know that's my problem. I like my men full of tattoos going into prison or coming out of prison, and I like them not to have a job. So I thought, I'll just change those things and my life will get better. And I raised my hand and admitted to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. I had no idea what that meant. But what happened for me is the people of Alcoholics Anonymous started inviting me into their homes. And their homes look like your homes right now. There's no holes in the walls. There's no graffiti on the walls. Windows have glass in them. Like, they were having conversations with each other, and I didn't have any of that stuff going on in my house. And I thought, maybe AA could teach me something. And I just started doing the deal. I went to a lot of meetings, and my sponsor told me, you could stay sober no matter what. You just go to meetings, you set up the chairs, you mop the floors, you wash the coffee cups, and you find the newcomer in the room. And I thought, that's stupid. Like, how is that going to fix my life? And my sponsor said, your life is too messed up to fix. Just do AA, and the rest will follow. And she was right. You know, when I was 30 days sober, I gave up custody of that boy of mine to the courts. As incorrigible, my sponsor said that my son needed a lot more help than I could give to him. And I thought, good God, I'm 30 days sober. How can I do this? And my sponsor told me again, you stay in service work, you can stay sober no matter what. And she was right. You know, whenever that pain got too much, I just did more Alcoholics Anonymous. And I made it through. My life changed, you know. Corky talked about it, like, we get a brand new life here, and I got a brand new life. I didn't get my old life better, because my old life was a shambles. I needed to have a complete overhauling, Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to suit up and show up, how to go to work every day, how to stay at work every day, how to make my bed, how to do my dishes. I just didn't know how to do any of those things, how to communicate with my kids. Like, the way I communicate with my kids is I punch them, and then they better do what I say. And my sponsor said, you can't do that anymore. And I didn't know how that was possible. And she taught me how. And, you know, I'm 21 years sober. My life doesn't look like I think it should look like. And maybe you got sober and your life got perfect, but that is not my story. I've made a lot of mistakes here in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've been through some difficult things. 6 years ago, I stood in an apartment with my son while he pointed a shotgun at me repeatedly on himself, and then he shot himself. We had a 6-hour standoff with the SWAT team. They extracted my son from that apartment and put him in a hospital. He had 6 plates placed in his face, and I thought, oh, Alcoholics Anonymous says there are no big deals. That's a lie. This is a big deal. And AA can't deal with this. And my sponsor said, AA will deal with anything. You just go to meetings, set up the chairs, mop the floors, wash the coffee cups, and find the newcomer in the room. And I said to my sponsor, I got problems. Like, I got real problems going on. And those newcomers, the stuff they're going through is nothing. And my sponsor said, do it anyway. So I went to meetings, and I did the things that she told me to do, and I was really damaged. I went to Pacific Group at that time, and there were a couple gentlemen there, Frank Jones and John Graff, who helped me tremendously through that, because I was so frightened and so fragile. There were a lot of women who came to court with me when I had to go to court with my son in trial. And, you know, a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous showed up for me. And about 2.5 months later, I got sick of my feelings. I couldn't stop crying. And I went and found the newcomer in the room. And I got tears rolling down my face. And I said to her, how are you doing? And she kind of looked at me sideways and said, well, I'm fine. How are you? And I said, I don't want to talk about me. I just want to talk about you. And I didn't give a darn what she had to say to me. I couldn't begin to tell you what she said. But the next week I went back and I looked for her. And by the third week, I cared about what she had to say. I cared about what was going on in her life. I wanted her to get better. There was nothing I could do about the mess that was in my life, but I could show up for this new girl. I could talk to her about my experience, strength, and hope, and I could watch her life change, and that saved me. That gave me hope. I clung to that girl for months and months and months. And I didn't even sponsor her. I just showed up at that meeting every week and asked her how she was doing. And that's a miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I left my home. I left my job. I got a job when I was 1 year sober. I've been a hard worker, but I've never stayed on a job very long because I drink. And then I do dumb things like sleep with the boss or the boss's son or somebody. And then I got to disappear because that pitiful, demoralizing behavior. So I call in sick to work and I never show up again. And when I was 1 year sober, I got this job and I worked hard and I showed up every day and I worked the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what happened is that man promoted me. Now, I am a high school dropout. I am still a high school dropout. And he treated me like an executive. He paid me incredibly well. I had a lot of perks at that job. And I had those because I worked the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he would tell me, you know what, Linda? You know what I like about you? You know why I let you run my company? Because even when nobody's looking, you do the right thing. And I would think, that's Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I already told you what I did at 19 years of sobriety all by myself. But you have taught me to be better, to do the right thing in spite of anything else. And I worked for that man for 19 years. And I'll tell you that when I went to resign from that job, I gave that man a 6-month notice. Because I was in an important piece in his company. And he begged me not to go. And he had no idea what was going on. And I said, I have to go. And I stayed those 6 months. And I trained my replacement. And I still talk to that man today. And I talk to him because of you. Because you taught me how to be a good employee. You taught me how to have integrity. How to not steal at my job. How to not lie. And when I do fall, to get back up and go make amends. One time I lied to my boss and I had to go back and tell him that I lied to him. And I thought for sure he was going to fire me. But it didn't matter because I want to stay sober no matter what. And I had a little stroke in August and my daughter came to LA and dragged me to Colorado and I was kicking and screaming. I didn't want to come to Colorado. I got plans. And the truth is I was afraid because my daughter lives this normal life. She has this little book club. She gets together with all these girls and they talk about the latest novel they read. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, that's strange. On Saturday night, they get together and they play games at the kitchen table. And I'm like, that's even more weird. I got to go to a meeting. And someone reminded me, Linda, you belong to a book club. When you go to a big book study of Alcoholics Anonymous, that's a book club. And all of a sudden, I saw it differently. And I came to Colorado, and I've built a life with my daughter. I got a little apartment here. And I will tell you that I have a life here that I never thought possible. I have a sense of peace. Thank you. 5 minutes. Thank you. I have a sense of peace here. I have a sense of comfort. I got immediately involved in Alcoholics Anonymous here. I went to meetings. I set up the chairs. I mopped the floors. I washed the coffee cups. And I found the newcomer in the room. And I thought, I'll just do what I did in L.A. And it's held me in good stead. I brought in my service work when I got here. I started volunteering at this hospice place, and I get to sit with elderly who are passing over. And that's a huge, huge privilege. And I'm so grateful for that. And I get to do that because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this coronavirus started, and a couple of the women that I sponsor said, we need masks because we can't get masks. So we started making masks and wearing those masks, and now restaurants want those masks. And we've got this little assembly line going on, and it's just service work. We're just making the masks at no cost and passing them out. And those girls, like, they're brand new in sobriety, and they're seeing, this is Alcoholics Anonymous at work. We suit up, we show up, we be of service, and God takes care of the rest. And Corky talked about that. Like, my God is bigger than anything. And I'm so very grateful. Alcoholics Anonymous has made me into the very thing I never, ever wanted to be, a lady. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Linda. Thank you. That was a wonderful job. We're going to unmute all of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are beautiful, Linda.
You, Linda.
That's my sponsor. That's what's up.
Now, Carl's okay. We're opening that up for everybody to say thank you, but not for a friend. I know.
Celebrating the following birthdays. And we will have, it'll also be on our screen here so you can see the birthdays. Our first birthday is for Allie B for 4 years. Happy birthday, Allie.
Joel from the Oaks.
Somebody's not muted, Morgan.
Yeah, let me mute all real quick. Hold on one sec. Let me do it again.
Okay.
Mute all, mute, and then let me unmute Duffy. Okay, Duffy, there you go. That's better.
Okay, so our first birthday is for Allie B for 44 years. Happy birthday, Allie. Our next birthday is for Joey W for 6 years. Happy birthday, Joey, my assistant that I miss. Our next birthday is for Mackenzie S for 7 years. Happy birthday. Our next birthday is for Eddie D for 17 years. Happy birthday. Xander S has 17 years. Happy birthday, Xander. Our next birthday is for Janet T for 18 years. Happy birthday, Janet. Next is Nick S for 28 years. Happy birthday, Nick. Our next birthday is Cecilia C for 31 years. Happy birthday, Cecilia. Our next birthday is for Susie S, 32 years. Happy birthday, Susie. Teresa J has 36 years. Happy birthday, sister. Sober sister. Our next birthday is for Joe R with 39 years. Happy birthday, Joe. And our last birthday for the evening is for 39 years for Lewis M. Happy birthday, everybody. That is a total of 12 birthdays for a total of 274 years with an average of 23 years. Oh, it's so fun to do that again. Okay. To have your birthdays announced for the following week, please email your name and birthday to pacificgrouplosangeles@gmail.com. It is also going to be put up in the chat right now, pacificgrouplosangeles@gmail.com. So you can see that right there. And special announcements. Tonight we have Onyx B to do our GSR report.